What's up, good people? This is your host, Neil Real, and this is the Apostate Apple Broadcast. Today, I'm talking about God's existence. And if I'm saying God doesn't exist, then why did this and that happen to you, or why did this and that happen to me? But before we get into those things, message here today is just to share how many of the arguments that people put forth to support God's existence don't really hold up well when you actually think about them. And once you get more information, you realize that a lot of these arguments just fall flat. The goal is not to generate any debates with any Christians. I never debate Christians at this point in my life because, frankly, I know their mindset, and I know how I used to think when I was a Christian. There's no way of fixing that from outside. The person has to come across enough evidence to change their minds and have them themselves leave that religion or that belief system. So I don't want to get any emails or calls to come on a show to debate God's existence or his non-existence. And frankly, it's the burden to prove God's existence is actually on the Christian, not on people who don't believe in God's existence. Also, I want to say that I am not an atheist. I do believe in God or a deity or deities, but I am not religious. I don't worship a deity. Frankly, I believe I'm God and I can create my own reality in a nutshell. Probably in other talks, I'll talk about that, but that ain't the goal of this talk here. So the first one is just my own personal experiences. The first one was I was driving down the interstate, I-94 in Detroit, Michigan. And I came up off the interstate. I had been on the interstate for about 30 minutes or so. And I was in this kind of a daze. I'm awake. I'm not tired, but I'm just used to just driving without any stops. And I pull up off the ramp and there's a red light. There's a stop sign, all this shit. And I'm just going right through them as if I'm still on the interstate. And at one point, a car almost T-boned me. Now, the weird thing that happened at the time was that I'm in this daze. I'm fully awake. My eyes on the road. I can see myself passing the red light. And I'm not in a rush, by the way. I'm just driving like as if I'm still on the damn interstate. But my steering wheel turns to the right, like just violently, just shoots to the right. And when I realize it changed, it turned to the right, I looked to the left and seen a car that almost hit me. I almost got T-boned. And I attribute that to God. Not at that moment, but later on when I had became a Christian, I had looked at it and said, that was God saving me. You know, he moved the wheel for me and saved me from being totaled in a crash or getting hit, you know, T-boned in a crash here. So after leaving Christ, I would think about certain experiences like that. And I realized that because I'm fully awake, I'm not sleepy. I'm just in this kind of this mode of, you know, where I'm constantly going. My peripheral vision picked up the car. My eyes are alert and my brain is saying, oh, there's a car about to hit me. And I, in a knee jerk reaction, basically just turn the wheel to the far right to maneuver around the car. Okay, that's what really happened. There was no God or the angels putting their hand on my wheel to change the direction of the car to keep me safe. It was me who kept myself safe. Kind of like when you're in a fight and somebody swings at you from the side of you. You have a knee-jerk reaction, and I keep using that term because I can't think of nothing else right now, but where you end up blocking the side of your face. You put your arms up. You didn't see them, but your peripheral picked them up. You did see them, but you're not focused on them. You see, so can I say that God moved my arms up to block me? No, I did that. So these are some of the things that I would say to people. There were other things that happened to me that I would say that God was moving and God looked out for me. There were times when I needed money, housing, a new battery for my car, and people came through. Most of the time because I asked or they saw my condition and said, let me help them out. But prior to that, I was praying and saying, God, I need help. I need this. I need that. Now, did God answer my prayer? And because of that, does that validate his existence? No. Let me tell you why. Because people are empathetic in some cases. And people can see if somebody's in need or not and choose to help them out or not. Also, people are religious and they're told that if they do a good deed, that might make them favorable to God and they can get points in heaven. And so they go out their way to do that. And so sometimes they may say that God led me to do this for you. And if you're religious and you're told that, you know, God answers prayers, you will attribute anything good happen to you, especially after you praying about it, to God. You see? But that don't prove his existence. You see, some people will pray about a job. They will get on the interview. They will go through the rounds and then they'll get offered a job and they'll celebrate and say, thank you, Jesus. He got this job for me. I was praying for a job and he got it for me. But does that validate his existence because you say that he answered your prayers? How do you know it wasn't just you being a good candidate for the position? You see? You went through the interview. It wasn't like somebody called you out of the blue and said, hey, take this job. Here you go. You know? And funny thing is I've had instances similar to that, but the job turned out to be something shitty. Like it was, they were just trying to fill it because they needed a black person to kind of be a token Negro. And that was something that would happen. And I think once or twice, I would say. But anyway, still, does that make it God? And let's just say that I took that job and I did at some point. Can I say it's God, even though the black folks are being mistreated on the job and it's hell on that job, but somehow God gave it to you? No. You see, so he gave you a job you prayed for. You certainly didn't pray to be abused. You prayed for a job. You got a job and all the white folks are mistreating you. And you find out you a token Negro there to kind of check off the box of diversity. No, it's not God, okay? So this idea that God answers prayers, so he must be real, is bullshit. That's not a strong argument. There are people also that don't even believe in God and they pray to themselves and they say that by their vibration and their positivity towards what they want, that they can attract what they want and they get what they want. They will give you testimonies of, I prayed for this. And they ain't talking about God. They're talking about themselves. You see, so this idea that God is doing this or God answers prayers, therefore he must be real, is not a good idea. And you've been told that God answers prayers, therefore you believe that anything you say while you hold your hands together and close your eyes and say something to somebody that don't exist, that if it does happen, it must have been him. So therefore that validates its existence. It doesn't. Okay. Here's another one. They say that miracles explain that God exists. So a miracle is an event that appears unexplainable by the laws of nature. And so it is held to be supernatural in origin or an act of God. So here's the problem with miracles. Just because you don't understand something don't mean it's proof of God's existence. There are a lot of people that didn't understand how certain natural events occur, like volcanoes, and they attribute that to a God. People didn't understand lightning and thunder, so they said it was God. That's Thor up there, the God of thunder. They just didn't have enough information. They didn't know or understand what was happening, so they attributed it to God. You cannot use a miracle and say that that's God. That proves that God exists. Another thing people say, God's existence is proven by scripture. Because the Bible says that God exists, he must exist. And that's one of the weakest statements that I've heard, because any document can say anything. That doesn't make it true. A document is not self-authenticating. I can pick up a comic book by Spider-Man and say, well, Green Goblin exists and Mary Jane exists and Peter Parker and everybody else in his little world exists. No, it's a comic book. It's a fictional story. And there's been many millions of stories that claim to have real factual data that they found out to be false, just like the Bible. The Bible has a ton of errors. It don't align up with nature or science. We find these same stories in older texts from other sources that's not related to the Bible. So to say that God's existence is proven by scriptures is not a good argument. All right. Another one people say, I feel a personal relationship with God, so I know that he is real. I remember women in church that I was cool with would tell me about how they would sleep and feel God's arms around them. You know, after praying, they would feel good. After speaking in tongues, they would feel good. Or speaking in the spirit, they say. And because I feel good, therefore God is real. Well, that's your feelings. And frankly, that's based off of personal experiences, which are subjective. See, one person can say, well, because I feel this way, God exists. But another person can say, well, that feeling don't mean nothing to me. I can't attribute that to God. Or a person that don't believe in God could say, well, I'm just happy. I don't attribute that to God. I'm just happy for what happened or whatever. See, you can't base it off your feelings. But at the end of the day, the reason why you're saying this is because you were told that God is the root of happiness and love and all of that. So now, if you feel a certain way, you attribute that to God. If it happens often, you say, well, you know, God, I have a personal relationship with God, and I feel that he's real, you know, and I feel these things, so therefore he is real. No, man, it's not a good argument. It's not a good argument. People have said that they've saw things in the clouds, that they've seen God's face in the clouds, or something that resembled a man's side view of a man's face. They said they saw Mother Mary in toast. They said they saw Jesus sitting on their bed, you know, after praying or something like that. And what do you say to people who said they saw this stuff? Are they making it up? Now, certainly we can see anything in clouds. We can make anything. We've seen dogs and cats in clouds, any type of shape. We can kind of make things out in there. And this comes from an actual psychological phenomenon called pareidolia. And I came across this article from learning-mind.com, and it's called What is Pareidolia and Why Do We See Animals and Faces in Clouds? And it talks more about how we kind of make things up. We see things. It's not supernatural. And I'm going to link the article in the show notes so that you can check it out for yourself. But this is your brain finding patterns and things and saying, oh, that's that. And this is that. And if you are a Christian who has been told over and over again that God works in mysterious ways, that he shows you signs, you'll be looking for signs. But it's funny is, you know, people talking about they seen God in the clouds. I remember this pastor by the name of David E. Taylor. He was telling people, you know, you can see God face to face, you know, playing off of people's desire to actually have visual proof of God's existence, wanting to have a close connection with this elusive God, you know. And he showed images of people's of a face in the clouds moving through the clouds. And you can look this pastor up. But that is not proof of Christ's or God existence, because you see something that looked like a face in clouds. And even then, when I heard that, I told a guy that was promoting this through Facebook, I was like, yo, man, that ain't it. I private messaged him and I said, yo, that ain't it. That's not a sign that God exists. I mean, anybody can say that that's a face, and I can say that it's not a face. It could be something else. You can't say that. And he got offended and, you know, tried to go back and forth with me. But eventually this same, he was coming from this pastor who was saying this. And eventually the same pastor by the name of David E. Taylor, he did something stupid. He predicted the Super Bowl. He also has a so-called prophetic gift. And he predicted the Super Bowl and got it wrong. He was wrong. And people clowned him on Facebook. They clowned him on social media. And the scriptures teach that if a prophet prophesies something and it don't come to pass, that they should be stoned to death. Nevertheless, it just goes to show you that these guys are clowning. They're fooling around. But back to this idea that, you know, seeing God and stuff, this is something called pareidolia. It's a psychological phenomenon. We all do it. As children, we used to lay on our backs in a field and look up at the clouds and say, oh, that looks like a dragon. That looks like a rabbit. That's all it is. And if you're a religious person, you'll say that that's God's face. And it could be anything. Like I said, Mother Mary in toast. And now the toast is selling for $10,000. A piece of raggedy ass toast is selling for $10,000. And for what? If God exists and he wanted to show you that, why would he produce, you know, an image of his so-called mother in toast? You know, and it's not really his mother. You know, the scriptures teach that she was just the incubator for Christ. You know, he has no mother. But how does that toast bless somebody? I could see if there was millions of pieces of bread falling down on needy people out of the sky, you could say that's God. Even if that happened, I could say a plane flew by and just dropped bread. You know what I'm saying? There's an explanation for it. You can't just attribute everything you don't understand or weird occurrences to God. The last thing, seeing Jesus sitting on your bed. Okay, you're hallucinating. That's quite possible. And if you really want to see something, your mind will produce it for you. That don't prove that God exists. Okay, here's a few more here. Here's another thing that people say. Belief in God would not be so widespread if God didn't exist. And then they'll say that so many people have died for God in religion. Surely it must be real. First of all, we need to understand why people believe in God. Everybody is spiritual. We all have a mind, we have a will, and we have a set of emotions. Okay, these are things that you cannot tangibly grab a hold of. Okay, you can't put your mind under the x-ray and see your thoughts. You know what I'm saying? So we have a spiritual component to us, and we seek to connect to spirituality. And religion gives you just enough spirituality that you join in and want to learn. And so the Abrahamic religions have become the most prominent religions, and they give you an answer to the idea of, you know, spirituality and God and something outside of yourself. So that's why people believe in God. And therefore, because this is the most prominent religion, particularly Christianity and Islam, a lot of people are going to believe in this shit because everybody's spiritual. So they're going to believe in something that tells them about their spirituality. That's just how it works. So, yeah, a lot of people are going to get caught up in this shit. They're going to believe it because they're looking for answers. And here come religion saying, hey, well, the answer is this. OK, you were created by God. You know, he has a plan for your life. And if you serve him and submit to him and follow him, then you'll have eternal life. Another reason why people connect to God is because they've been taught to feel so small about themselves, not just from religion, but from other sources, their government, people. And so they want to feel big and they want to feel connected to something bigger than themselves. So when they're given this idea of a big God that wants a personal relationship with them, they gravitate to that. You see? So just because it's widespread, this belief in God, and so many people have died for God in religion, don't make it real. It doesn't. It's just wide belief. And you say to yourself, well, but they died for God. I mean, they believe it, but it don't make God real, though. It doesn't make God real just because people believe something strongly. I used to have this saying, just because the majority rules don't make them right. You can get a lot of people to believe something, don't make it valid. This goes into another point that I have that people say, smart people like scientists and, you know, people with PhDs and a bunch of other letters after their name, they believe in God and they're smart, so it must be true. Once again, religion bypasses intellect. It goes into the spiritual. So these particular scientists and smart people, quote unquote, have been indoctrinated. And they just so happen to get into the science, the field of science, and got notoriety and became an authority, and they just still hold on to their belief. So it just because they believe in God doesn't make it valid. These are not good arguments, y'all. Finally, here's another one here. My religion or my God has helped me so much in my life, therefore he must be real. Okay? I've heard people say that, you know, if it wasn't for God, I would still be on drugs. And no. There are tons of institutions that have no relation to God that can help people come out of drugs and alcoholism and other stuff like that. What religion does is provide a lot of things that humanity provides. See, religion is full of humans, and these humans provide what they give to make people happy or to help people out. So to say that, oh, it must be real because I've been helped by this. No, you were around a bunch of humans and they helped you. You recover from drugs because you had a strong conviction that if you didn't, you would go to hell. The Bible says clearly that the drunkard is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So what happened was you got scared into not drinking no more. That's all. You know, that don't make God real. You know, because you got answers to your questions about life don't make God real. Just because those answers made you feel good don't make God real. Just because you found a community at your local church and you were able to express yourself maybe by singing and dancing doesn't make God real. Yeah, you got a better life, but it's because you are part of a community. You got friends that you talk to on a regular basis that you found in church. That's not God. That's human beings. That's just you making connections with other people. I hear people say, you know, this is why God exists because this, but these are like circular arguments to me. You know, it's God exists because God exists. The Bible said God exists, so therefore he exists. It's like these are not strong arguments, y'all. It's not strong arguments. And so I don't struggle with whether he exists or not. I know for sure he don't. Okay. At least the character of the Bible. Now, my own belief is personally that I'm God and I create my own reality. But I'll talk about that in some other podcasts. But once again, I want to be clear. Anybody listening, I'm not trying to sell that to you. You believe what you want to believe. You can pick up another religion for all I care. I don't care. I just want you to be happy. I don't want you following anything that would cause you harm in your life. All right. Till next time, be blessed. Like, share, rate this podcast. Email me at neil@neilreal.com and have a good day.